In today's episode, Samantha can't hear the music over her own yelling, Mike does mean half, and I get to talk about the Super Mario Bros. Super Show again. This is Super Mario Bros. 2, Electric Boogaloo. What can I use to segue here?
You don't always have to segue.
Into this week's... not this week's. We're not a weekly show.
Into this Fortnite's video game.
Yeah, Fortnite dances. You know what?
I'll talk about that we're definitely not talking about Fortnite.
Never. How shitty is it that a game has now stolen that word from our vocabulary? We can't use it how it was intended.
Were you using Fortnite on a regular basis?
Yes.
is it spelled differently though, right?
Yes.
You know why I like it better?
Text.
Okay, why?
Oh, no, go Samantha.
In text it's different. The end.
Well, yeah.
That's all.
I was going to say, I could say bi-weekly, or I could say Fortnite. Fortnite, less syllables, more fun to use.
Well, that's great, Shakespeare. I'm glad that someone's still getting to use the term Fortnite. But we're not talking about Fortnite today. We're talking about Super Mario Bros. 2. Hi. Welcome to Funsphere Game
My
Club.
My name is Josh. I'm Josh. I gotta say, we've had a lot of lousy segues in our time, but oh my god.
You know what?
I'm Mike.
Which is worse? You two clowns always claiming to have the wrong name or my segues?
Well, we don't.
I'm
think
Samantha.
The name
and
thing is bad, so.
Joy. Okay.
So we need to have a name. We don't always need a segue. A poorly thought out.
I'm just literally sitting here thinking about this episode. It's going to have a 10-minute lead-in.
Well, you don't have to worry about it because it was all a dream. That's your segue.
Oh, excellent. All right, so I'm going to give us the rundown of this before this gets even
more
off the rails.
Do you want to use that for yourself, for real?
Yeah, I actually liked it. That was quite good. I figured that would come up at some point and that either you or I would use it.
All right, here, let's do it. Let's do it. Just say,
okay, go ahead.
We don't have to worry about a segue because it was all a dream.
We don't have to worry about a segue because it was all a dream.
Well, you
got to
sell it.
I can't.
Just leave this all in.
Oh, it is. It is. All of it's in there. I know it
I'm
is.
Trying to help you out.
Oh, yeah. You're trying to help me. Okay, that'd be nice for once. All right, so Super Mario Bros. 2 is a platform video game developed and published by Nintendo. The game was first released in North America in October of 1988. As a lot of people might know, this game was actually developed off of another game that was not initially a Mario game.
Which Samantha can pronounce right now.
Yes. Can you do that, Samantha? Do you know the name of this game?
It's actually
Did you
not
put
a,
it somewhere?
It's not a hard name to pronounce.
Okay, I'll give it. It's Yumi Kojo Doki Doki Panic.
That's funny.
Was the game. Okay. Was the name of the original game that we got here in the USA. That's right. That means it's supposed to be like a heartbeat, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. It's an automatopoeia for a heartbeat. So the game was developed in a very interesting way, and I'm going to give us some real quick info. Like I said, prior to 2011, we in the United States always thought that this was a game that Nintendo made for a collaboration with, let me get the company's name, for a television company. Oh goodness, I've lost it. Anyway, Japanese television company, they were having a celebration of an anniversary. So Nintendo made this game with some, and they had a cross collaboration with the characters in 1987. So in 1988, it was time for Super Mario Bros. 2 to come to the United States. However, the game that's actually Super Mario Bros. 2 sucks. Sucks real bad. Very difficult to play. Not fun. Not graphically different than Super Mario Bros. 1. So Nintendo of America said, this game sucks. And, hey, this game that you guys developed for that TV show, let's just reskin that to be Mario Bros. And that was Mario Bros. 2. So, but that's not the whole truth.
What?
That's correct, because there was, like I said, that was the story we thought we knew until 2011, when the original programmer, a man named Kensuke Tanabe, he worked with Shigeru Miyamoto. This was actually a Mario Brothers prototype that they then turned into the game for the TV show, which then Nintendo of America said, hey, turn that into a Mario Brothers game. And then this game was so popular in America, it was brought to Japan as Super Mario Brothers USA. Wild story, huh, guys? Crazy.
My first question was going to be, did people like this game?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, I see.
No, it literally, I think it got a critical reviews around like 85% at the time.
Man.
Things like that. But let's see. Let's go around the room and find out what we thought of this game. Samantha, why don't you start?
I found
Since you had the question.
So there. I thought, when we said we were going to play this one, I thought it was the one that I used to play at my neighbor's house when I'd go there after school and wait for my parents to get home. But
that's,
I think maybe
okay.
that was
Super Mario World on the
yeah,
Super Nintendo.
Too.
That well,
yeah.
Spoilers. Can't wait for us to get there, but that's my favorite Mario of all time.
Oh, okay.
That one I liked. This one, okay, I just was extremely frustrated. Jumping on them didn't do shit. I pick up the box. I don't know how to use this box. And then I die trying to use the damn box. I don't know a lot about Mario games. I know how to do one thing in Mario. Just jump on top of things to kill them. And it didn't
and your
work.
Knowledge, and your knowledge was your downfall in this case then, huh?
Yes.
Well, and you're not wrong, because that was the mechanic that clearly from the history, this was never intended to be a Mario. This was a Band-Aid on the American market.
Yeah, so that made sense to me, because I was so confused. Like, why would you change this? Why would you change up the one thing?
You know what's very bizarre, though, is my interpretation of the game. Because if you think about it, outside of a few, really outside of Mega Man, I guess, that I had played at that point, having a drastically different sequel seemed to be par for the course on the NES. I don't understand why, but everything did that. Zelda took a completely different viewpoint.
Yep.
Castlevania turned from an action game to an RPG. God, I know I'm
so
missing a few, but I mean, it was pretty common for the next game in a franchise, the second game, to be weirdly different.
Yes, and usually be a very polarizing game, too. Like you mentioned, Zelda 2, The Adventures of Link. It's so, so much different than the first game. And people, and believe me, we'll get to that one eventually, but people have vastly different opinions on that one. This game, people also have a lot of different opinions. Some people like it. Some people think it's this weird oddball game. Now, when I was a kid, you know, thinking back on it later, I was like with Mike, I thought it was just, oh, Nintendo was trying to do something different, which from a technical standpoint, they were. When this was a prototype for Mario, they're like, well, what if we worked on vertical levels instead of horizontal levels? So that was the whole thing, and like they wanted to work with stacking it up. Also, it was planned to be a two-player co-op game originally, so you would have two people playing at the same time, which that would be wild to see, but that was scrapped, unfortunately. So Mike, you like this game? Did you like it as a kid? You like it now?
Oh yeah, love it.
Okay.
I remember. So the timeline was bizarre too. I always knew that the game existed.
Okay.
So I lived in Nashville. I was born in 86, and I lived in Nashville until like 90, 91. And then we moved here. And I remember playing Mario 3 in Nashville before I ever played Mario 2. I got Mario 2 as a Christmas gift from my grandmother. I guess this was 91. Going into 92.
Okay.
Or maybe it was 92 going into 93. It was 91. So I played 3 before 2. And I knew that they were different. But I don't know. I appreciated what they were going for, even back then. I like that they weren't the same. And that's my theory on why a lot of people hate these terrible twos of the game the gaming world is because it seems like they were just throwing anything at a wall, seeing what stuck, and then you'll eventually realize that, like, okay, well, I guess it can't be a Mario game unless you can step on somebody and they die or they get damaged in some way outside of like the spiky people and, you know.
Yeah.
Same with Castlevania. And like they tested what worked, they tested what didn't, but it makes me love the two games that much more is because that's the only time we've really been able to see games take huge risks.
Yeah. And I think that's because they were a product of their time. This was the resurrected video game industry. They weren't sure what was going to be successful. They did want to try to do and innovate new things with these second games. And then eventually third games. They would sometimes return to form. Sometimes they would keep progressing. And we did see this type of stuff later on. Like I'm thinking, you mentioned Castlevania. Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Vastly different from the original series. Stuff like that.
That kind of stuff happens way less and less frequently.
It does. And when someone tries it now, all they have is vocal fans screaming, you've ruined the series and stuff like that. And that's, you kind of got to appreciate these games, I think, a little bit more just because they were willing to kind of risk and gamble at all on trying something entirely.
Now, I will say, once I discovered, and I guess it was around 2011, whenever you said, whenever I found out that Mario 2 was not originally designed as Mario 2, it definitely got an asterisk. I still love the game knowing it before, and I love it after. And I love how much it has weirdly, like, how much of that game has become part of Mario culture, even though it never should have been.
It's a weird mixed bag because, like I said, this is completely developed and everything by Nintendo. It's not like Nintendo took
So from what I understood, it was they did it for a like a game convention or something. They had to develop a game.
It was partner
for it. Well, it was the partnership, but they also had to do it as part of like a game convention or something.
I didn't notice anything about that, but it's entirely possible. I know it was developed and turned around real quickly. Like I said, it was under a contract. Oh, here it is. It was Fuji Television.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Yeah. So they were under a contract and under, I guess, obligation, which is why they dusted this prototype off, turned it into that game, and then from there, they turned it into Mario Brothers 2 as we know it later on.
But it was the same team from the get go. They just changed it.
Yeah.
Back and forth.
And then re-released it in Japan, which that's the coolest thing for me is like after Nintendo of Japan saw what Nintendo of America thought and reacted to it, they're like, well, we should just put it out here and see what people in Japan loved it. Okay, so let's take a step back. How many of us have ever played the real, we'll call it the real with quotation marks, Super Mario Brothers 2, which we probably know better when it was released on Super Nintendo as Super Mario Brothers: The Lost Levels.
I did
as well. And guess what?
No.
It sucks. It's extremely difficult. It doesn't look any different than Mario Brothers 1 at all.
Was that on the that gold 30th anniversary Mario thing that was out when we were at GameStop?
Yep.
I feel like that was a selling point, right? Like the Lost Levels are on it.
That was the big selling point.
It was Super Mario All-Stars. That was the game.
Yes.
Period. It was the same compilation on the Super Nintendo, just on the Wii.
Yes. But I do remember being as a kid when the Super Nintendo came out and Mario All-Stars was announced. And everybody's like, oh, that's really cool. But there was a big thing about, hey, there's a Mario game that no one in North America has ever played before. And so they really did do a big advertisement about the Lost Levels being on there. And then people tried it and it was like, oh, this is terrible.
Now it just seems like the entire game was made by the sadistic Mario Maker community.
Pretty much, yeah. So I'm with Mike. I also love this game. Go ahead. Music is fantastic. I love the overworld theme. It's
we'll
so
get
good.
To it. So sorry.
Good. Yeah. But I was going to say, out of the original three of the original Super Mario Brothers trilogy, I actually think this one is my favorite. It's one of those things. I know that Super Mario Brothers 3 is by far the most like technically superior, and most people are going to enjoy that one over it. And, of course, you can't hate the original. But if I have to sit down and play a Mario Brothers game, most times I'm going to select this one to play over the other two. And I think that's really amazing. And it just shows how being different, worked for this game. Like I can see someone that's used to the formula having trouble with it, like Samantha, not that you were unable to overcome it or anything like that, but it's like, hey, this doesn't play anything like the previous games I've played. So I could see that being that. And like I said, the thing I kind of like the most about it is every time you play this game, you start thinking about this crazy story about how this game was one game, then became another game, then became another game. It just kind of like adds something to the game, I think.
What?
I don't know. I feel like the opposite is true for me. Like, they didn't bother
You think it's laziness.
To make a new Mario game.
Well, they they were trying to do, so it was a rush because there was a lot of fear because it was still very fresh out of the game crash. So they thought we have to turn around stuff quickly. And
right.
Even Mario 2, The Lost Levels, was a rush job. Because they thought, well, this is what the people liked from the first one, so let's just do the same thing, but make it harder. And that was what they had going for them. I think they still were working on 3, but it was going to be some time out.
It's just like, in my mind, I'm equating it, and I understand they had to rush it out or whatever, but it's like, man, when Final Fantasy 13... Versus just became Final Fantasy 15.
Okay. So you think it was more just like the corporate side of, oh, we got to make a buck. Instead of putting this game out, actually, that's something Nintendo's pretty guilty of with Zelda games. It's like, yeah, this game is developed for the Wii U. We'll put it out on Switch. This game was developed for the GameCube. Ah, we've got a new console coming out. We'll just push it back to the new console.
Or we'll just... we'll slap an HD polish over
exactly.
A pretty fresh game. Anyway.
Yeah, it's like the business side makes it tough. Money makes it tough. Yeah. I know that. But right. It can still be a little bit of a letdown, I think.
Okay. And I got to say, when I first found out about the Doki Doki Panic thing, I, too, took kind of a cynical viewpoint for a little bit on Mario Brothers 2. I was like, oh, man, they just took somebody else's game and slapped a Mario on it and sold it. I was like, that's crappy. But, like I said, when I found out more and more about it, I was like, well, no, that's not exactly what happened. Which is why you can kind of, like, stuff from Super Mario Brothers still carries over to modern Mario Brothers games. Like, all the characters and stuff, they... developed, and like you could say that Super Mario Brothers 2 has a lot of influence on the Mario universe. This is where Luigi officially became taller than Mario.
Well, I saw Luigi's trending right now on Twitter. I don't know why though.
Oh, I don't want to know why.
Even taller.
I was gonna say that I mean, if you go back in time and you only have 1 and 2 to go off of, whenever we found out that it was not originally a Mario, my thought was, oh my God, it makes so much more sense now. Because it would be one thing to like take some steps, but oh my God, it's like whoever created Mario 2 from the premise of Mario 1 took every mushroom that game spawned in the first one. Because there are some very bizarre things that come about it.
Yep.
We don't have to get into those. The weird characters or anything. One thing I wanted to commend, though, that gameplay-wise I really appreciated at the time was selectable characters that each had a very distinct way of playing them. And I don't know who your all's favorite character to play with was, but on the original NES, it was Peach for me because I needed the extra float.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I played as Peach. I also found her much easier to maneuver with, like, get up on things. It was easier to time it. So I'd be like, pshoo!
But then there was stuff you would miss with her throwing, because it's pretty poopy. Correct. So whenever the Game Boy Advance version came out, I found myself playing as Luigi. You have to get used to that weird jump. But once you do, love it.
Yep.
Man, what a world to live in. They're all freaks.
I think it was great to back into the selectable character thing. It added a level of strategy into a Mario game because they're, like you mentioned, Peach was pretty much everybody's go-to with that float. But there were certain times where you're like, man, Toad really does well in this level with his ability to pick super fast. Like, you could get a bunch of coins using him and stuff like that. And, you know, you, of course, had the most balance being Mario and stuff like that. But I'm with Mike. I usually worked with either the princess or Luigi. Because, you know, when you had that charge jump, his charge jump was, like, up to the next screen. It was great.
Big Mario kind of looked like a monster. Like, his model was real ugly.
All right, so that was... I don't know if you got to see the... well, yeah, you saw it, because they show the artwork on the Switch version. But that was the first time that a lot of people saw what people's idea or their idea of what Mario actually looked like as a cartoon character that we know of now. So he was, that was the first, that was the first sketch that paved the way for what he became as a character, like a drawn character.
And actually this game even reinforced that even more, because this game was the basis of the animated Super Mario Brothers Super Show. They were, it was based, even though it was a weird kind of like hodgepodge of Super Mario Brothers 1 and Super Mario Brothers 2, the influence for 2 was there more than it was for 1. The only thing I could say was, like, you had King Koopa as being the villain, but all of the bad guys were the Shy Guys and stuff like that from 2. And like I said, they had the character traits of, they all looked like the Super Mario Brothers 2 characters. And like I said, you had the stuff like Luigi's taller and Toad talks in a high-pitched screaming voice. All that came from this game, which influenced the TV show.
Well, the Luigi being taller, that was from the scrap development of Mario 2. Because that was one of the gameplay mechanics that the team was working with, was making him, like, making more of a difference between the brothers.
Yeah. Well, also, it comes to the fact that the original characters they developed, Luigi became the palette swap for Mama on the Doki Doki Panic game. So she was taller than the other character that was on that game. So that's where they're like, well, I guess Luigi's taller than Mario now, because we need to make that character this character. We need to make this character Toad, and we need to make this character Princess Peach. So, yeah, that's kind of where that came from, too.
Doki Doki Panic is just such a Japanese name.
Yes, yes it is.
Like,
although,
like, quintessential.
All the characters were very Arabic, though, weren't they?
Yes, they had an Arabic design for their thing. Apparently, also, the game was different, and you had to beat each level with every character before you could progress. Which, that would have been a weird thing to do. I'm glad they kind of trimmed that out of the Super Mario Brothers 2.
No thanks.
So, Mike, you mentioned that the music in this game is great, and I wholeheartedly agree with you.
I can't remember it. I couldn't hear it over my own yelling.
Well, just yell to ragtime next time. That makes it even funnier, is just imagining your frustration while you hear it.
Also, Koji Kondo came back and did the score for this game. So, like I said, this is, as strange as it is, it's not a Mario game. It was certainly a Mario game from the prototype phase. So,
well, it was the same team. They just restructured.
Wait, yeah. So did this have the same music? No.
Yeah.
No. It was the same team as Mario. They started out with a few, like, they were basically spitballing ideas for what they would make the next Mario. They got pressure from the Western market. You have to make a sequel, and it needs to be done quick. So that's where the Lost Levels enters. They start, like, they were like, we don't have enough time to do all the stuff we've been talking about wanting to do. So they just basically make new extended levels on what they have already just to shit something out. And in the meantime, all these ideas they've been playing around with for new gameplay, they entered in this contract with whatever Josh said. And so they say, all right, well, make us this game. And there's a time crunch. So they take these ideas they've been playing around with and they put them in this game. It's the same team that was working on all the stuff. They just put it in there. And then whenever word came out that the Western market was not interested in what they had done with the lost levels, then they were like, all right, well, we need to just find something that's going to work. And they thought, well, you know, it was the same team that made Mario made this other game. Maybe we can slap some sprites around, turn it into a Mario, which they did. And that was, to bring it all back, the joke, if you beat the game, the only other thing besides them making the Mario sprites is after you beat the game, Mario is dreaming like he's in bed snoring and it says the end.
Yep.
It's the so old the classic game, cop out. The yeah. whole the thing whole was thing. A dream.
Dream.
JK. They just put that there.
Nintendo had a habit of that in the early 90s.
They sure did, because Super Mario Bros. 3 was a stage play. And so.
Well, and my we'll favorite Zelda game of all time
is also a dream. That's true. Yep.
Because he wakes up at the end.
He does, yes.
That's why it's called that.
Well, and the world is gone.
Yep.
The whole world.
He's just in a void. I dreamt of a world, but I'm
or
just
an
alone.
Island.
And I gotta admit, through all the years that we've gone through and played so many more Mario games and something like that, I always kind of wish that they would have made a new game with, as much as they've incorporated certain stuff from this game, I always kind of wanted a true sequel to it. Whereas you could say certain games were like sequels to Super Mario Bros. 3 and Super Mario Bros. 1 and stuff like that. I always wanted one that was kind of the sequel to this. And I mean, I don't think we'll ever get it.
Oh, we for sure won't. Which was unfortunate, because if this kind of thing would have happened now, I think they would have had the comfort of knowing, like, well, we could just make this an alternate timeline kind of Mario, and it could be its own. But then it would end up being turned shitty, too, kind of like the Mario versus Donkey Kong franchise. What a disappointment. That game started out as a fun puzzle game with Donkey Kong on the Game Boy. Uh-huh. And eventually became a shitty ripoff of Krusty's Funhouse, which was a shitty ripoff of Lemmings. And it just got worse and worse and worse.
Someday, a dark day from now, we'll have to do a Simpsons game.
That was one of the better Simpsons games, I hope you guys know.
Yeah.
Maybe the best for me.
Okay. There's not many.
There's one, and we're gonna talk about it on another episode.
Bart game.
No.
The driving one.
No. Well, yeah, that one was good, but no, that's not the one we'll talk about. All right. Does anybody else have anything to say about Super Mario Brothers?
Nah.
Or Doki Doki Panic, if you want to talk about that instead, it applies here.
No fucking way am I playing through every level. With every character. That's awful.
What? That's so lazy. Then they only have to make like three levels and then you do
it. No, it was the whole game. You had to beat.
I will say that one of my favorite memories of this game is level 4-2. It will forever be etched in my mind. It's like a ballet dance every time I play that level. And it's been maybe 15 years since I've last played this game. Maybe not that long.
Oh, wow.
Whenever it came out on the Game Boy Advance, that was the last time I played this game. But every time I hit World 4-2, because that world or that level gave me so much of a hard time. like learning all the birds, and then that's when you get to see all the whales.
Yep.
Best, one of the best worlds in any Mario game.
Okay. I like that. I like that.
What if you guys could remember how many times that you farted while playing it the first time?
2.5
I was too excited. Not me. I was just too clenched. I was too excited for this game. I barely breathed. Well, now I think we'll call it an episode here, and we'll see you on the next
episode. Forget that last joke. Give us all the dream.
That's right.
Forget this whole episode. Goodbye. It was all a dream.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Excellent.
Just trying to think of a Toad voice.
Maybe. Every time I think of Toad, I think of that picture with his hat off and he has like three hairs and he just looks so sad.